In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Let us kneel. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I adore Thee profoundly. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love Thee. I ask pardon of Thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love Thee. I adore Thee, O God, I count myself as nothing before Thy divine majesty. Thou alone art being, life, truth, beauty, and goodness. I glorify Thee, I praise Thee, I give Thee thanks, and I love Thee, all helpless and unworthy as I am. In union with Thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our brother, in the merciful kindness of His heart, and through His infinite merits, I desire to serve Thee, to please Thee, to obey Thee, and to love Thee always, in union with Mary Immaculate, Mother of God and our Mother, loving also and serving my neighbor for the love of Thee. Wherefore give me Thy Holy Spirit to enlighten me, to correct me, and to guide me in the way of Thy commandments and in all perfection, the while I look for the happiness of heaven, where we shall glorify Thee forever and ever. Amen. Infinite sanctity of God, purify me. Infinite wisdom of God, direct me. Infinite power of God, support me. Infinite patience of God, bear with me. Infinite bounty of God, enrich me. Infinite justice of God, spare me. Infinite immensity of God, possess me. Infinite love of God, consume me. Infinite mercy of God, plead for me. Blessed eternity of God, prepare me, call me, receive me forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. As I preached last Sunday, which was the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, we are on this earth to give glory to God. Glory be to the Father, glory be to the Son, glory be to the Holy Ghost. This is a perfect summary of our Catholic religion. It's also a perfect summary of the Catholic priesthood. It's a perfect summary of Catholic marriage. Basically, it's a perfect summary of the Catholic life, how all the saints lived. The saints were very much aware of the fact that what's most important, the purpose of our lives, is to give glory to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And also, as I mentioned last Sunday, we give glory to God by adoring and praising Him, by thanking Him, and again, by thanking Him in all the circumstances of our lives, whether we see these as a positive or as a negative, whether they're joyful or sorrowful in suffering. We give thanks to God, always. This is one of the basic ways in which we give glory to God. Just so that you see an example of this, not too long ago, someone gave me a Mass intention, and the Mass intention, I imagine, had to do with the whole coronavirus. Part of that petition was, in thanksgiving to God for the just chastisement. The person making the intention was very much seeing the events of our times in the light of God and God's commandments, recognizing most probably that in many ways we're disobeying God and we're offending God. And so, the person offering that mass intention in thanksgiving to God for the just chastisement so that we will correct our ways. So that we will convert and repent. But notice how this is an example of giving thanks to God in all the circumstances of our life. We give glory to God, especially by obeying Him, by doing our best to serve Him, and by leading other souls to Him. Basically, again, as I mentioned last Sunday, that's what it means to give glory to God. Today's Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke chapter 14. And at the beginning of the Gospel, we hear the following. Jesus is teaching by means of a parable. And the parable begins as follows. A certain man made a great supper and invited many. Take just a few moments and we're going to replace this phrase that begins the parable with another phrase. Instead of a certain man made a great supper, we'll say Christ the Savior made a great sacrifice and invited many. Exactly what happens in the parable in today's Gospel, Luke chapter 14, where basically everybody's making excuses on why they can't go. They have other more important things to do. It's what continues to take place in our time. Especially, and I mean, I've been preaching about this for the past 2 or 3 months, but I will continue to make reference to it. Especially even within our own Catholic Church, where the big excuse has been, I don't know, public health, public safety, on why public masses have basically been canceled for the last 2 or 3 months. And even now in many places, I think also here in our own diocese, masses being limited to a very small number of the faithful, you know, maybe 10 people. But one of the things that's happening in today's Gospel from Luke chapter 14 with the parable about many being invited to the Great Supper is that our Lord is calling us to give Him glory, to put Him first in our lives. And the most important way, again, that we give God glory is by uniting ourselves to the glory that only Christ can give to God. And that's the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We're deluding ourselves completely. It doesn't matter what we do. We can go and be protesting supposed racial injustices, and I don't know all the different things that are going on right now here in the world right now. We can go and do whatever we want. We can pray sincerely. But if we set aside and if we neglect the holy sacrifice of the Mass, it's impossible to give just and due glory to God. We seriously need to think about this and consider what is taking place, the state of affairs in our world today in 2020 and also in our beloved church today in June of 2020. We're too busy with the affairs of the world, like the Gospel tells us. One of the things that saddens me, and I hope it saddens you too, and I strongly encourage you, don't do it, is how today you look around and everyone seems to be glued to, guess what, you already, I don't even have to tell you, to their cell phones. Everybody's glued to their cell phones, either going like this or doing all kinds of going like that or I mean all kinds of different things, but everybody seems glued to their cell phones. And in that I see a kind of a, you could say like a little microcosm, like a small little summary of how we're glued to the affairs of the world. What we should really be glued to as Catholics is giving glory to God. Our thoughts should be, I want to please God. I want to obey God. I want to give thanks to God. Very different to what's taking place. And one of the greatest impediments to true devotion to the Holy Ghost. And obviously it's the Holy Ghost that is going to guide us and lead us in our prayer and help us to give fitting glory to God. One of the greatest impediments to true devotion to the Holy Ghost is an inordinate attachment to the things of this world. And when we say things of the world, think of it this way, things of the world. In a personal way, just ask yourself, does this gratify my senses or does it cause grace to increase in my soul? And if it gratifies your senses, it's of the world. If it's causing grace to increase in your soul, it's of God. So for example, just compare eating with fasting. Eating is gratifying to my senses. It's of the world. Obviously we have to eat. But an inordinate attachment to it can very easily be a grave, grave sin and be a great obstacle to listening and following the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Fasting, obviously if done with true Christian motives, will increase grace in my soul. Another example, the internet versus praying. The internet is gratifying to my senses. Praying usually isn't. Sometimes, if God wishes to bless me in a special way, sometimes, but a lot of times it isn't. But faithful prayer and persevering prayer, it increases grace in my soul. So there you see, the things of the world and the things of God. Another example on what do we mean by things of the world. Basically, if you are gaining the approval, and listen real carefully here, if you're gaining the approval of the media and those who hold power, if you're gaining their approval and their support, then that's of the world. If those who have power in the media and basically in general public opinion, if they're against you, well, chances are pretty good that what you're doing is increasing grace in your soul. And here I'll give you just one quick example of this also. This whole George Floyd crusade that's going on, it's kind of crazy. And I'll tell you why. Because when you compare this with the very grave sins and offenses against God that are so widespread in our culture and our society, I mean, it's astounding. Here we're talking about an action, albeit a despicable one, but here we're talking about an action by one individual, perhaps, you know, a few others not doing something when they could have done something. On the other hand, think of the grave sins of abortion and the sin of Sodom that is so widespread in our culture. And basically nothing's done. In many ways, this is actually being promoted as something good. And what happens is, if I get behind this so-called current crusade, I get the approval of the media and I get the approval of those in power. But if I start speaking against the grave sins of abortion or the sin of sodomy, everybody comes after me and attacks me and persecutes me. An example of the things of the world and the things of God. But what we're seeing today, it's not new, but what we're seeing today, and basically I would say with all the reactions to the coronavirus and now this, crusade against supposed racism, it's demonstrating how we live in a man-centered world and not a God-centered world. And I say that because just think of four things. And these are four incredibly important things. Again, far more important than what a few individuals are doing. Again, like I say, however wrong and however despicable it may be. These four things that we mention are really widespread in our world. You can't possibly be centered on God when you do and allow these things. And the first one, I mentioned it briefly also last Sunday, is basically a total indifference to the one true religion. How can we possibly be in a society that is indifferent to the fact that God is what is most important? And God is absolute truth. And He has revealed Himself, He's revealed His commandments, He's revealed the one true religion. All of us, if we're talking about crusades, all of us should be on a crusade to become Catholic and to become better Catholics. And then you see widespread three very grave sins: abortion, contraception, the sin of Sodom. All extremely grave and heinous sins against God Himself, who is the Creator. Against the very nature of God and the very nature of how He's created us. He's created, for example, the woman to be a mother and to give life. He created the male and female. And that's why we truly are living not only in an upside down world, but a diabolical world where everybody gets all, like, let's say, going crazy over the despicable actions of a few, when basically we're all contributing and doing and committing all these incredibly of the gravest sins, and no one thinks anything of it. We don't think we have to change our world. Over here, people say, oh, we have to completely change our society because look at this racist act. And yet the same people, clueless about the fact that we need a radical conversion in our society. And we also need a radical conversion in our church. Above all, what we need to do is we need to recover a true sense of the greatness and the majesty of God. This is why last Sunday's Feast of the Most Holy Trinity is so important. We have to recover a sense, a true sense of the greatness and the majesty of God and of obedience to God. Obedience to God. And remember, always remember this, the first step in terms of obedience to God is obedience to the Catholic Church and the Catholic faith. That's first. Today also, there are a lot of Catholics that are confused and they think that obedience first starts with obedience to one's superior, whether it's the bishop or even the pope. Obviously, that's an essential part of obedience, obviously. But obedience is always first to the Catholic Church and the Catholic faith. And as I've told you in the past, the pope and the bishops have to be the first ones to be obedient to the Catholic faith, to the Catholic Mass of all ages. And this is why we have a grave, grave crisis in obedience. And here too, even the Catholic faithful, they're lost. They think, okay, well, if you're not following what the bishop says, even if it's right or wrong, oh, then you're being disobedient. And what about following God? And what about following the Catholic Church? And what about following the Catholic faith? And what about giving glory to God at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass? And putting the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass above anything else? I want to remind all of you of the message of Fatima. And again, don't take this lightly. The message of Fatima, of Our Lady of Fatima, is extremely important. Those of you who were in Mass yesterday, you'll remember, hopefully, that I mentioned yesterday, June the 13th, was a special anniversary because on June the 13th, in 1929, in Tui, Spain, there was a magnificent revelation to Sister Lucia of the Blessed Trinity, of the grandeur and the majesty of God. What is so necessary for our times, rather unique even in the history of our Catholic Church, the revelation that took place exactly 91 years ago from yesterday, June the 13th, 1929. Also the marvelous revelation of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass with a communion rail there for just everybody paying attention. But again, I call your attention to the message of Fatima because the message of Fatima, in a profound way, like at the very center of it, is the true sense of the grandeur and majesty of God. that God comes first, that we have to give glory to God. And yes, we're to pray the rosary. Yes, we're to wear the brown scapular. Yes, we're to make reparation. But all of these things have to do with giving true glory to God. We're making reparation for sins against our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and for sins against our Lord and our Blessed Mother, because those are very grave sins against God's glory, against giving Him proper worship and adoration, proper thanksgiving. And I want to remind you of what takes place, and hopefully this will inspire you to go back and review, meditate on the message of Our Lady of Fatima. I want to remind you of what happens in both the first apparition of the angel that takes place in the spring of 1916, and then in the first apparition of Our Blessed Mother on May the 13th, 1917. Because it's something very similar. Basically what's happening is that the little shepherd children, they're basically totally transformed, converted. And all of their thoughts, their whole mind, their soul is centered on God. Not on the world. And that's why they're also so much more aware and ready to make reparation for all the ways in which God is being offended. They're not going to be led astray by all the garbage. Not that it was the same in their time as in our time, but I'm kind of transposing it to our time. They're not going to be led astray by all the garbage and all the fads and all the stuff that's going on in the news, you know, that's being put out by the media today, because their focus is truly on God. And that's what we have to do our best to be recovering as faithful Catholics. And so I'll read to you very briefly just these passages from that first apparition of the angel, spring of 1916, and then the very end of the first apparition of Our Lady at Fatima on May the 13th, 1917. Notice the similarity. The angel knelt on the ground, and he wasn't kneeling on the ground to protest social injustices. He was kneeling on the ground because he was in the presence of God. And there was a genuine recognition of the grandeur and majesty of God from the angel from heaven. So, the angel knelt on the ground and bowed very low. By some inspiration, the children imitated him and repeated the words they heard him pronounce. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love Thee. I ask pardon for all those who do not believe in Thee, do not adore Thee, do not hope in Thee, and do not love Thee. He repeated this prayer three times. Then he arose and said, pray this way. The hearts of Jesus and Mary are attentive to the voice of your supplications. The angel disappeared, and the awareness of the supernatural was so intense that for a long space of time they remained there in the same position in which he left them, unaware of their very existence, repeating that same prayer over and over again. We felt the presence of God so intensely, so intimately, that we dared not speak even to each other. The next day we felt ourselves still enveloped by that atmosphere. Only very gradually did its intensity diminish within us. None of us thought of speaking of this apparition or of recommending that it be kept a secret. It imposed secrecy of itself. It was so intimate that it was not easy to utter even a single word about it. Silence, because it's so sacred. We should be thinking about what takes place at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And then at the end of the first apparition of Our Lady, as she pronounced these words, the Lady opened her hands and shed upon the children a highly intense light. Lucia reported, this light penetrated us to the heart and its very recesses and allowed us to see ourselves in God, who was that light, more clearly than we see ourselves in a mirror. Then we were moved by an inward impulse, also communicated to us, to fall on our knees while we repeated to ourselves, O Most Holy Trinity, I adore Thee. My God, I love Thee in the most blessed sacrament. So notice what our Blessed Mother brings from heaven to earth for our times. Because what you just heard is the greatest gift, really, that the children of Fatima received in the apparitions. A greater awareness of the grandeur, the majesty, the love, the goodness of God. All those divine and infinite perfections, the divine perfections and infinite perfections that I mentioned briefly last Sunday. And the three shepherd children, so we might say in tune with this, that they're not even aware of their existence. There's total silence, a total focus on God. Remember what I mentioned last Sunday. Let our souls think of God alone and have no other interest. That's giving glory to God. And a perfect example of this is these three shepherd children. Particularly after that first apparition of the angel in the spring of 1916 and at the end of the first apparition of our Blessed Mother on May the 13th, 1917. Let our souls think of God alone and have no other interest. Let the one thought of God reign over our whole life. Today's conclusion is this. Two of the most important ways, and we might say relatively simple, that we can make use of to work harder at recovering the true sense of the grandeur and the majesty of God is what we call practicing the presence of God, and then doing this in particular when we're at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Because just ask yourselves this. If the children of Fatima were so overcome and in awe, and it was so transformative for their souls, the fact that they were in the presence of the angel from heaven and of our Blessed Mother and obviously also God, what should not our reaction be when we are at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass? When the very Son of God truly comes down and is present. I hope to say more next Sunday about practicing the presence of God, but put very simply, something that we should always try to do from the very moment that we wake up to when we go to sleep, this is really even also one of the main purposes of our morning prayers and our night prayers, is to make ourselves aware that God is present. And we have to do this even more so when we come to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, because at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, God is uniquely present as in no other place and at no other time. But God is always present in our lives. God, who is infinitely good and infinitely great and infinitely just and infinitely merciful. And what we need to do is we have to take time to make ourselves more aware. I am in God's presence. God sees me. And that's why I don't want to do anything or say anything that offends God. That's why I want what I say right now, what I do right now, what I think right now. I want it to truly give glory to God because I'm aware that He's present. And it isn't that difficult. You just have to make the effort to make an act of faith and to make a serious effort at believing. My God is present. He's present everywhere. He sees me. He knows me. And then to try to meditate at least for a few moments on some of His infinite perfections. He's all good. He's all powerful. The more we're able to do this throughout the day, the more we're able to keep alive in our souls this presence of God, the more we're going to be guided and we're going to be able to discern well the movements of the Holy Ghost, the more glory we're going to give to God, and the less we're going to be attached to those cursed cell phones, because our soul is going to be more and more glued to Almighty God who is always there present, loving us and calling us to give Him glory, very similarly to what we hear in today's Holy Gospel. We pray. Holy God, Holy Strong One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us. O Blessed Trinity, to Thee be praise, to Thee be glory, to Thee be thanksgiving through endless ages. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.